The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this introduction to the Eric Metaxas Show to bring you this important announcement. If your license plate reads NR1 and NR2, your name is Mr. Lawrence Welk. Please make note of it. In a moment, you'll hear from the Lennon Sisters. But right now, here's Danny Boy with that fine Irish tenor, Mr. Eric Metaxas.
Thank you. I think it's important to get a Lawrence Welk joke in now and again, folks, just in case you wonder what I think is important. What I also think is important is to have Margarita Mooney back on the show. We had Margarita Mooney on recently, and it was one of those things where we thought, this is ridiculous. We need to keep talking. Can you come back? Yes, you can. And she's here now. Margarita Mooney, welcome.
Thank you, Eric. Great to be back.
I've got to explain to people who don't know who you are. You are an associate professor of practical theology at Princeton Theological Seminary. And you are, to my mind, more importantly, the executive director of the Scala Foundation. ScalaFoundation.org is the website, S-C-A-L-A. Tell my audience, if you would, what is the Scala Foundation? I mean, I know you're at Princeton, but what is the Scala Foundation?
Scala Foundation is a nonprofit I started in 2016 because I had come to see that students often going to elite schools weren't really getting a classical liberal arts education. And by that, I mean students weren't being given the philosophy of the human person that allows us to integrate knowledge from specialized fields, as important as that is, integrate it into what Pope Benedict has called a humanistic synthesis. How do you bring all the different little pieces of knowledge and actually put them together to build flourishing lives and the common good? And there's foundational ideas from the great texts, from philosophy, from theology, from natural sciences that help students to integrate knowledge. But also, Scala was founded because I wanted to help students discover their own personal calling or their own vocation with knowledge. To know something and to know what your calling is are very different things. And a good education is supposed to do both. It's supposed to help you discover your calling.
Now, where I'm trying to remember where you grew up. Where did you grow up? What is your biography?
I grew up in Frederick, Maryland. I was the fourth child, the only girl, three older brothers. And as I said on the show before, you know, when I was a child, I thought it would be great to become a warrior like St. Joan of Arc because I had three older brothers and I liked that she competed and fought with boys. So I just knew I wanted to be competitive when I was young. And my competitive spirit got me into the Ivy League. But at some point after finishing my undergraduate at Yale and spending 3 years living in Central America, working with ex-combatants of the Civil Wars there, I knew I needed something other than a fighting spirit because I was working with people who had fought revolutions, and I think both sides lost in many ways.
At what point did you come to take your Christian faith seriously? Is that a lifelong thing, or is that more recent?
When I left Central America and went to graduate school in sociology, I was really, really humbled about my own power to change the world after my own image, and I was humbled about the power of anybody to fix the world. So I thought initially what I needed to do was just sink myself more into greater and greater forms of knowledge. But I had also seen human brokenness and human sinfulness, and I remember just, I'd always been Catholic and always believed in God, but I remember walking in to Mass at the Princeton University Chapel when I was a graduate student and just being overwhelmed with my own weakness and brokenness, and knowing that I really needed God. So there was a moment when, you know, faith or going to church is no longer just checking a box, but a real acceptance of my own dependence on God. And that's not what I had ever heard or been told. And it would have been easy for me to kind of, maybe people tried to tell me and I didn't listen, but what was first and foremost always in my mind was climbing that next rung of the ladder. And if God could help me climb the rung of the ladder, I believed in God. And if God didn't help me climb the next rung of the ladder, I'd let go of God.
I think Hitler had that kind of Christian faith. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Because you realize that until you realize that, you can't do anything apart from God. You really don't know who God is. He's just, you know, he becomes our puppet, which is to say he's not God. And it's funny, too, because I think if you're successful, people tend to feed you this information, this idea that you can do anything. You're successful. Keep going. Keep going. And you have to figure out yourself. No, I can't. At some point, I mean, for me, it was after I graduated from Yale, I realized, okay, I can get good grades and do this and do that. But what happens once I get past that? Now what? Now what am I supposed to do? Even the idea that I'm supposed to find out what the meaning of life is and who I am in it and all that kind of stuff, it's so daunting that unless God helps you in some way, you are going to be lost. And so that, to me, that's an honest place to be. So, but what happened to you as a grad student that enabled you to grab on to God? You mentioned something about an angel. I don't know if this is a good time to talk about that.
Yes. That Princeton University Chapel has been one of the physical places where I feel like God has reached me directly multiple times. Frankly, most of the time that I'm praying or going to church, I just have my own thoughts going through my head, and I'm not terribly recollected about what God is doing. But as I just mentioned, God told me that day when chapel and Mass that I really needed him, and I finally listened. And many years later, almost 20 years later, now as a faculty member at Princeton Theological Seminary, one morning in this past May 2019 at 7:30 a.m., I went in. And I like going to the chapel that early in the morning because nobody is ever there.
This is less than a year ago.
Less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And that morning, I wanted to be alone, and I wanted to pray alone. And I got down on my knees in front of the tabernacle. They have a side chapel. It's a Catholic chapel, the tabernacle. And I was trying to pray to strengthen my young friend, John, my former student from Yale, who was very close to death. And I had been visiting him in the hospital and talking with him, and I had these hopes, as did he, that there would be a miraculous cure. And that morning, I woke up, and anyone who's ever lost a loved one has had this feeling. I felt like someone had kicked me in the stomach, and I knew his soul was going to be leaving his body very soon. And I went to pray, thinking I could somehow strengthen him in his final hours. And all I could do was sob. I sobbed my eyes out, and nothing pious was coming out of me. All I was saying was that I was mad at John for dying, which makes no sense. He didn't want to die. It wasn't his choice. I was angry at God. This makes no sense. And I had this terrible feeling of just despair. Like, I can't go on. I can't go on because this young man had helped me start Scala. He was supposed to get his law degree from Columbia and be on my board. And now he was close to death. But suddenly I heard footsteps. And I thought, oh, gosh, some undergrad decided to get up early and walk in, and they're going to find me crying, and I just want to be alone. And I didn't look up. I would not look up at who it was. And suddenly someone knelt down and began to pray out loud, which, by the way, Catholics don't do very much.
And this was next to you?
Yes.
In this same tabernacle?
Yes. And he said, Heavenly Father, we lift our cries up to you today. And I stopped and I realized he was praying out loud, not for himself, for me. We know that you hear our cries, and we turn our desires and our fears to you and trust in your merciful love. Heavenly Father, today, please hear our cries. And I was startled, but I realized this person was praying for me, so I thought I should at least look up. And I didn't see a student. I didn't see anyone who worked at Prince University. I saw a man about my age with jeans and a Yankees cap. Okay, John was raised in the Bronx. He ended up being buried in the Bronx. When I couldn't visit him in the hospital, I took myself to a Yankees game to distract myself. And so I looked at this man and I said, thank you. I'm praying because my 26-year-old friend is close to death. And he said, what's your friend's name? I said, John Artunian. And he touched me on the shoulder and he said, I will lift up your friend today in my prayers. And at that moment, I believed that that was an angel who was going to help John to die in peace and go home to God.
We're going to put a pin in it, as they say. We'll be right back with Margarita Mooney. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, folks, where does the profit from your cup of coffee go? Well, you know who Pete and Seth Talbot are. They're the father-son owners of Relief Factor, helping thousands of people get out of pain. I'm one of them. Well, I'm thrilled to announce that Pete and Seth have started a new company, Honor Bound Coffee, premium, fairly traded coffee at a terrific price, but even better, almost amazing, really. They've decided to give 100% of the profits to support and bless military families. That's right. By the way, the coffee is fantastic. No doubt about that. You'll love it. And to start it all off, on your first order, you can buy two bags for the price of one. Now, are there American families more deserving of our appreciation than our military? And let me ask you, where do the profits go from the coffee you drink? Pete and Seth are asking you to help bless and serve military families. Simply go to honorboundcoffee.com and on your first order, buy two bags for the price of one only at honorboundcoffee.com. Give your family great coffee and give back to our military 100% of the profits. honorboundcoffee.com.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are a timeshare owner, getting out is probably a top priority. And now that annual maintenance fees are coming due, this ongoing burden and expense is at the top of your list. Thankfully, we can help. Let us do for you what we have done for thousands of others across the country. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Lone Star Transfer has a 99% success rate and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We are a family-owned business and will personally make sure your experience is a pleasant one. Don't let another day go by with maintenance fees taking your hard-earned money. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's LoneStarTransfer.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Try not to laugh when I finally listen to the lyrics of my favorite songs from childhood. Hey, folks, today's Monday, I think, which means it's Miracle Monday. What a surprise that we should be talking about angels. My guest is Margarita Mooney, Ph.D. She is an associate professor in practical theology at Princeton Theological Seminary. And Margarita, you've been telling us this amazing story of about a year ago visiting this chapel in Princeton and praying, and then having somebody kneel beside you and pray with you. It seems miraculous, but you're just about to tell us whether it is. So tell us what happens.
Well, I was startled but comforted by the appearance of somebody at 7:30 in the morning at Princeton University Chapel who seemed to know the exact words that I needed to hear.
And who's a stranger to you.
A complete stranger. Never seen him before. Never seen him again. I go there all the time at that time of the day, and I'm telling you, there's never anybody there. But after the angel told me his beautiful prayer, knelt down beside me and prayed for me, and told me he would be praying for my friend John, who I believed was very close to death, I was comforted in the sense that I wasn't alone and John wasn't alone, but I couldn't stop crying. I kept sobbing my eyes out even after the angel left.
Now, you say even after the angel left. Why did you think? Did you think then that it was an angel?
I did, because it was so strange and it was so perfect. It was so out of the place, and I couldn't think a pious thought. I couldn't pray the way I thought I should pray. And then somebody comes in who I've never seen before wearing a Yankees cap and prays exactly the words I should have been able to say, but I couldn't. But here's also why I thought it was an angel. Because even though when he left, I couldn't stop crying, my prayer changed. And I felt my friend John speaking to me. And what he was telling me was that I had to carry on my mission. Because when angels appear to us, it's easy to say, oh, it's just, you know, soothing or comforting us. No, angels are messengers of God. And in that exact same spot, 15 years before, I was finishing my PhD in sociology, thought I was at the top of the world, except I couldn't get a job, you know, typical academic problem. And I went to that chapel to tell God I would leave the academy and I didn't need to be an academic or a professor. I'd go off and take a job in international development. I'd been told 90% chance I was going to get this job. And I went there to tell God that I was giving up on my dreams to become a professor and go take this other job. And I kept hearing this voice telling me, no, your mission is in your work in the academy. And I kept saying, no, 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 that's not my mission. That's not what I want. And I couldn't get rid of that voice. The next day, I got an email telling me that job I had been told I was going to get had fallen through. I sent an email to a professor who I admired, and I said, I'm about to get my PhD. I don't have a job, but I'd like to work for you. He gave me the job. And I've been in the academy ever since. And part of the reason I've never left is because of what happened in that chapel. And then there I am 15 years ago. I've started a nonprofit. It looks like things are going up, but I have this terrible amount of responsibility. And now the student who helped me the most.
So you mean 15 years later, right?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
15 years later. And I start to have this dialogue with my friend John, who's about to die. And I hear him telling me that, yes, I can go on. I feel like I can't go on. I feel like I can't continue this work. I feel like I'm not worthy to do this work. I don't have the strength. I don't have the intellect. I don't have the spirit. But that visit from the angel was confirming to me that, yes, my young friend was going to die, that he was going to be okay, and that I had to go on with my mission. And it's very hard sometimes to accept that. And what my friend John, one of the last things he said to me while he was still alive, was that my problem was that I tried to do everything by myself. I tried to accomplish all these things on my own. And the angel appearing to me was affirming to me that I had to go on with my mission, but that I couldn't do it alone. I needed God, but I needed other people. And I felt not consoled in my pain over John's death, but I felt that in spite of my pain over John's death, I felt certainty that God had given me a mission and I could get up and pursue that mission, even in the midst of my pain.
I just think it's so wonderful that you who are in the academy, especially at a place like Princeton, are willing to share so vulnerably your experience of faith, your experience with what you believe is an angel. I agree with you. I believe it was an angel. But I know that there are many people that can't possibly imagine that could be anything than your own imagination. And, who expect angels have to appear with wings and so on and so forth. But I've always wanted to, in a way, I guess, express the breadth of spiritual experience, right? That to say that God communicates to us in all different kinds of ways. And we do have a responsibility to discern, was this God? Was this something I ate? Was it my emotional state? Was it the devil? You know, we have that responsibility. Nonetheless, within the realm of reality is a great variety of spiritual experiences. And what you've just experienced, I know people who have told me very similar stories, that they have known it was an angel. And it's never the kind of thing that you can really prove. So your willingness to share that, I think, is so important, because there's so many people wondering, would God speak to me, and how does God speak, and there's a great variety, but we need to know that he does and that he wants to.
You know, Eric, I've taught classes in sociology of religion. I've taught classes in philosophy of social science, and I think it's important to hear people's stories about the appearances of angels, because the dominant way of thinking about causality in our life is always vertical, right? We're perfectly comfortable thinking that our psychological state is real, even though we can't ever see it. And we're perfectly comfortable with unseen forces that we call capitalism or class having an influence on us. But what we don't realize is that our modern ways of thinking have rejected what ancient philosophy accepted and what believers have always accepted, that there's a kind of vertical causality. I understand people wanting to be skeptical about claims of divine intervention or vertical causality, but to deny that it could ever happen is deeply problematic and frankly goes against human experience. And we have to put on, in fact, we have to put on philosophical filters to explain it away somehow and come up with explanations that make a lot less sense and really aren't very rational.
That is funny you say that, because I in my book on miracles, I put in a number of these stories, and I challenge people. I say, read these stories and you tell me what pretzel are you going to have to twist yourself into to explain this away. I mean, the Occam's razor explanation is this was divine. This was God. That's the easiest explanation. To certain things, to argue them away or to say it couldn't possibly happen, it's more difficult to get to that explanation. So it is important that we put that out there. And when you say human experience, I think that that's valid as well. It's so important to say that human experience says there is a reality, a spiritual reality.
Yeah.
Now, just because it's difficult to figure it out, you know, it's not like the periodic table. If we just spend enough time, we'll be able to figure it all out. It's invisible, but it's just as real as, you know, the atoms of beryllium we can't see. And we can figure it out from the effects, from these anecdotes. We have a lot of information if we're willing to see it as evidence and information.
You know, Eric, sometimes I like to say that there are ideas from dead white men that I just can't subscribe to. And one of them is this idea that comes to us from philosophy, right? That if God exists, he's purely immanent and he's only acting through human actions, right? The idea that there's that if God exists, he's not transcendent and unbounded and unpowerful and omnipotent is a very strange idea. And in fact, to most of the people across the world and to most women who tend to have these spiritual experiences or the people I met in Haiti, right? My first book was about Haiti. And spending time in Haiti and with Catholics from Haiti taught me how American my Catholicism was. And I think it's really easy to stereotype people with brown skin or dark skin going to charismatic services and clapping their hands and talking about feeling the Holy Spirit as if they're running away from the world. And that's a really unfair stereotype because I've spent time in these communities and people who see God acting directly in the world, what it does is it turns their hearts to gratitude and they're giving praise to God and they have a sense of mission. So again, this idea, another idea from dead white men that I can't subscribe to, that religion is the opiate of the people.
Yeah.
That somehow people who are praising God in the midst of suffering are running from their problems. Nothing could be further from the truth.
We will return to the discussion of Karl Marx and faith in just a moment. My guest is Margarita Mooney. She is the director, executive director of the Scala Foundation, scalafoundation.org. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Angie girl, are you all right? Tell the radio tonight.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. House managers are delivering closing arguments in the president's impeachment trial. The Senate expected to take the final impeachment votes on Wednesday. The California Highway Patrol says one person has been killed. Five were wounded in a pre-dawn shooting on a Greyhound bus. A male suspect is in custody. The latest attempt at an HIV vaccine has failed. Researchers announcing they've stopped giving the experimental shots in a major study in South Africa. That country has one of the world's highest HIV rates. In consumer news, organic grocery chain Earth Fair closing all of its stores, saying it can't refinance its debt and it faces sales challenges. Stores will close across the South, as well as those in Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. The Dow is ahead 150 points and the NASDAQ up 114. This is SRN News.
You might wonder why Australians always seem so relaxed. Well, it comes down to sleep, and we can sleep like a koala full of gum leaves. So we've invented a solution to your sleep problems. It's called Pronto Sleep. Pronto Sleep is a two-in-one solution that helps you fall asleep and stay asleep. Pronto gently opens your nose to focus breathing so you can relax and fall into the land of nod. And the built-in scent diffuser delivers a blend of four pure essential oils all night long for a beaut sleep naturally. Then Pronto replenishes the oils ready for the next night. Clever, eh? And does it work? Well, in trials, 84% of people with trouble sleeping found Pronto helped them fall asleep. 74% found it helped them stay asleep. You'll find Pronto now at select Walgreens, Amazon, or at prontosleep.com. Pronto Sleep is the gift of sleep from Australia.
From RhinoMed, bringing you advanced nasal therapies.
Hey, folks, Mike Lindell and the team at MyPillow.com are so grateful for you. They've got an offer I don't think you can refuse. It's buy one, get one free on their incredible sheet sets. Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. He says, the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. So the Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can buy one, get one free by calling 800-978-3057 and use the promo code ERIC or Metaxas for a limited time. Buy one, get one free by calling 800-978-3057 or just go to MyPillow.com, 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 and you've got to use the code ERIC. If you don't use the code ERIC, you don't get the discount. Check it out.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's the chairman of the board. I'm Eric, and I'm sitting here with Margarita Mooney. who is an associate professor of practical theology at Princeton Theological Seminary. Margarita, I want to be clear. People can find you at scalafoundation.org, but also at margaritamooney.org, and it's M-O-O-N-E-Y, margaritamooney.com. I'm sorry, margaritamooney.com. We were just talking about Karl Marx and how this idea has come into the West. You can trace it back to the Enlightenment, and there are all kinds of ways, pathways that this bad idea has come to us. But this idea that there is no transcendent reality, there's no objective truth, and we're dealing with that, and especially in the academy, the idea that you're at Princeton willing to be vocal about your own views on this, which I of course share, but it's a little bit lonelier than it might have been 100 years ago.
Yeah, I was telling you that I teach a class on sociology of religion, and I teach Karl Marx, and he didn't say much about religion. He simply said that it's the opiate of the people, and so his philosophy is a purely materialistic philosophy, and anything else is superstructure, is a human creation. So the idea of God might exist because we created it, but the idea of a transcendent God who directly intervenes in the world, he just outright says it can't be true and doesn't really do a lot of description of religion, but he does describe what he sees religion doing to people, which is subjugating them and preventing them from using their freedom to see who they truly are, right? And religion is alienation from oneself, according to Marx.
But to be fair to Marx, there is an element of religion over the centuries that has been an opiate of the masses. In other words, not
sure.
All religion is good religion. And he,
sure.
Of course, was lumping it all in together. But we do know that there have been examples through history, and I've even seen a little bit of it in the Greek Orthodox Church growing up, where, you know, faith is not what it could be, what you've experienced, what I've experienced. It really is a kind of a way. It just becomes part of a larger power structure, maybe not meant to subjugate people, mm-hmm. but in some ways having that effect. So I just want to be clear that, you know, some
sure.
religion has functioned in a way to allow people like Marx to tag it that way. But you and I know that most of it doesn't function that way, so he's wrong to tag it that way.
Well, I think if you talk to any priest or pastor or someone who leads a church, there's going to be people for whom their faith makes them passive and not take on their freedom. But what I think is a little difficult is that when someone's doing serious philosophy, to go from that observation to a generalization to all religion and all time is a huge jump in logic.
Correct.
And it's not very scientific.
Correct.
And so it becomes, instead of something that's being argued for, it becomes a presupposition, right? And so what I think has happened with often when people don't read the full Marx or don't think very carefully, they just come when they remember this one phrase that religion is the opiate of the people, and they just don't think very nuanced. But when I went to Haiti for the first time, it was in the year 2001, and I was doing field work for my dissertation, which was on immigration from Haiti in the United States. And I learned Haitian Creole, spending time in Haiti. But I got a phone call, telling me that my father was undergoing surgery and might not survive that night, and I had to leave Haiti. And I'll never forget the fear I was in, the fear that my father might die before I got home. And I had to get to the airport in Port-au-Prince, beg my way onto the next flight to Miami. And then I made the decision to spend the night in Miami, thinking I had time to make it to Washington. And I get another phone call saying my father could die in the next few hours. And I felt terribly guilty that I wasn't there. And I threw myself down on the ground in the bedroom of my aunt's house, where I had slept, I don't know, every summer of my life.
In Miami.
And I grabbed a rosary and I started praying to God to have mercy on my father's soul. I was sobbing, hysterically sobbing, saying goodbye to my father. And suddenly I looked up, and this picture of Jesus on the wall, standing behind the timon, I'm thinking in Spanish now, the steering wheel of a boat. And it was like lit up. And I had this feeling that, like, Jesus is in control. I'm on this boat and it's sinking.
So this was an
Jesus
actual, this was an actual picture,
yeah, but, it,
but somehow mystically it came to
yeah.
life.
And all I could do was stare at it, and it calmed me down. My father survived that night. I made it to his bedside to say goodbye, but he died 3 weeks later. And the morning after he died, I drove my brother to Washington Reagan National Airport and passed out asleep at 8 a.m. thinking I could finally get some sleep. And I woke up at 12 noon to multiple messages on my phone, home phone, cell phone, my mother and my brother downstairs. And my brother says to me, "Do you know what happened today?" And I said, "No." And he said, "A plane hit the World Trade Center. Then another plane hit the World Trade Center. They both fell down. Another plane hit the Pentagon, and a fourth plane went down in Pennsylvania. It was 9/11. And I slept through it because I finally thought I was going to rest. And I couldn't cry. I had no tears left. I went upstairs and I shut the door and I put a pillow on my head, and I didn't want to face the world. And I went into a serious depression. And when you go through a personal loss like that, followed by 9/11,
yeah,
all of these questions are racing through your head. Like, why does God let people in Haiti suffer? Why did God take my father? Why did God let all these people die?
You kind of hit the trifecta.
Existential despair.
Hang on, Margarita. We're going to go to yet another break. Such an important conversation. Folks, don't go away. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back. Hey, Albin, how much pain is too much pain?
I don't know.
Exactly. Neither do I. All I know is any pain is pain. As my old friend Richard Cunningham used to say, pain hurts.
Yeah.
He would. He would say that, right? And my attitude is, look, there is something called relief factor that works in so many cases. It's natural botanicals and stuff. I bug my family, take this stuff. It works. You can start with the $19.95 is the cost of the Quick Start Pack. Okay, it's a 3-week Quick Start Pack. You will know by the end of that time if it works for you. And I'm here to say 70% of the people who order the 3-week Quick Start Pack for $19.99 end up ordering more. So it's about $1 a day to find out if, you know, you can enjoy the things you used to enjoy. It's kind of amazing. So you got to go to ReliefFactor.com. It works, folks. The 3-week Quick Start Pack, $19.95. That's all it takes. ReliefFactor.com. Or you can call 800-500-8384. Honestly, check it out. It works.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. There are over 400 programs in the Prager store. And now by becoming a Pragertopia Unlimited member, you can listen to every program in the store. Courses, lectures, show segments, even my Torah teachings. Almost everything I've ever recorded over the last 20 years, over 1,000 hours of program. Of course, Pragertopia Unlimited members get every radio show since 2009 as well. All commercial free on demand. Wow. No, this is a big deal. This is truly a big deal, if I'm allowed to say that about my own work. For a limited time, it's only $119 for an entire year to join Pragertopia Unlimited. Get to listen to every show in the Prager store, every lecture I've given, every course. And you'll get a coupon for 50% off the Rational Bible, Genesis, which is autographed. I put my life into these works. They're meant to change your life, open up your mind, and they make a spectacular gift. Go to Pragertopia.com and sign up. Pragertopia Unlimited.
Economic experts warn conditions are ripe for a global recession in 2020. Forbes says 2020s might be the worst decade in U.S. history. J.P. Morgan believes the next global financial crisis will strike in 2020. It's time to take charge of your financial future. It's time to invest in gold. Gold offers security. Noble Gold offers security through precious metals. The experts at Noble Gold have been helping people invest for over 20 years. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Noble does it all, from gold coins to gold and precious metals IRAs. Want to do more with your money in 2020? Then go to learnaboutgold.org. That's learnaboutgold.org to receive your free gold guide and custom Learn About Gold video series absolutely free. That's a $99 value, yours absolutely free. Go to learnaboutgold.org and see if you qualify to receive $500 in free silver.
She's such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block, and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DinoVite.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s, and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dinovite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies.
Grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it,
and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dinovite for life.
This is Ed Lukasiewicz.
And Cindy Lukasiewicz.
Inviting you and your pets to Dinovite.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. You can tell by the bumper music. I'm talking to Margarita Mooney, Ph.D. I like saying that. She's the associate professor, an associate professor of practical theology at Princeton Theological Seminary, executive director of the Scala Foundation. You can go to scalafoundation.org. Margarita, you were just telling us about this horrific moment. Your father has just died. You think you can get some peace now because that's over. You sleep till noon. And you wake up and you realize everybody's telling you, didn't you hear what just happened? Didn't you hear what just happened? And you realize that planes have crashed into the World Trade Center. Thousands of people have died. The Pentagon has been hit. And you couldn't deal with it all.
Oh, no. And I couldn't get away from it either because my father was a New Yorker. He grew up in New York. He went to high school down the street from the studio. He went to Xavier High School right over here. I look, his mouse pad, the World Trade Center, his screensaver, the World Trade Center. He had 1976 King Kong poster standing on top of the World Trade Center.
Are you kidding?
So I just go up to my room and I stick a pillow over my head and I don't want to come out. And I think I was depressed. I mean, I couldn't. Somehow couldn't figure out how to put a stamp on an envelope to pay my credit card bill. I couldn't figure out how I was going to go back to Miami and pick up my car. I mean, I couldn't do anything for about a month. And fortunately, some mentors told me to just take it easy and try to recover. And after about a month, I began to do things. But there was a month where I couldn't really function.
And you were a grad student?
I was a grad student in sociology.
At Princeton,
yes.
At that time. And this is before you go up to Yale.
Yale was my undergraduate. I had been through Yale and then
went
to Princeton grad school and then returned to Yale.
Right.
But I did make the decision to go back to my field work in Haiti. And what happened then, I went back to the Haitian community of Miami. And then I also went with a Catholic group to Haiti. And when I went back to my dissertation work, I was still a graduate student in sociology, but I was a really different person. I was hurting, deeply hurting inside. And so when I went to the church where I was doing my field work, I'll never forget this. I still had this framework in my head that poor people go to church because it helps them get material things that they wouldn't otherwise have. And I remember asking this woman, I spoke Haitian Creole, and I asked her, you know, I've seen you in church all the time. Why do you come so often? And she looked at me and she said, because I love God. And in my head, I'm thinking, you know, she needs this or she needs that or whatever. And someone else said to me, and I write about all this in my book, Faith Makes Us Live. This other woman said to me, well, yeah, every time God answers my prayers, 10 more problems come along. Plus, whoever said you're supposed to ask God for things for yourself, I mean, that's kind of selfish. When I pray, the thing I do most is give God thanks. And I began to realize that these people who probably genuinely didn't have enough food on their table were more generous than me. They didn't have enough food on their table, but they'd give other people their food before they ate it themselves. These people who really needed help wouldn't pray for themselves first. And I realized I prayed mostly for things I wanted for myself. And I felt so silly. And I felt so selfish. And then I got on a plane and I went back to Haiti. And going back there, because I had been there when I got the call to come back because my father was dying, it was very emotional for me. And what I realized, sitting with a group of people who participated in a church cooperative. Again, once again, here I am, the sociologist, ethnographer. I'm so cool. I'm speaking Haitian Creole. And I'm asking these people about all the financial benefits they get from their cooperative. And this Haitian guy sitting next to me, who's studying to become a priest, he says to me in English, "Why don't you ask him what it means to them?" And this woman, she said, "Oh, God is so good. God is with me all the time. And God just gives me so many gifts, and I give God so much thanks, and God has done so many miracles for me. God brought you here to be with me today." And what I realized was that it wasn't so much that people in Haiti see God acting in this kind of supernatural way that breaks with the laws of nature, more than they see all of the good that can happen is a gift from God. They see me as a gift from God, my presence there. They didn't see me through the lens of my skin color and tell me I was a white woman with privilege, because they don't see that. What they see a woman who's interacting with them. They see me and they see the image of God in me.
Did you write about this? You said in a book, Faith Makes Us Live.
Yes, Faith Makes Us Live, Surviving and Thriving in the Haitian Diaspora.
When did that book come out?
2009.
Okay, Faith Makes Us Live by Margarita Mooney is available.
Yes.
Faith, do you have other books that you've written?
That's the main one that's based on ethnographic work. I've also written on my blog on margaritamooney.com. You can search for articles on Haiti or Haitian Catholicism, because I published an article in the Miami Herald and also a blog after the Haitian earthquake, right? And an image really struck me. After the Haitian earthquake in 2004, the Cathedral of Port-au-Prince collapsed, but there was a giant cross left, and a priest was out there saying mass, and people gathered in the midst of rubble to give thanks for God. And people said, "Oh, you know, they're running from their problems." And I said, "No, they have a sacramental and a sacred imagination that out of this rubble, God can still act. And if you don't recognize that people see God can act and bring good out of this rubble, then you've reduced them to nothing but a material thing."
Well, but isn't that the point? Western white materialists do not get this, and they, somewhat racist in their views, look down on people like these Haitians. They really think
they
like,
don't see that as agency, because agency is manipulation. It's an instrumental view of human action rather than a constitutive or a purpose-filled or a vocation-filled or a mission-filled view of agency. And to the idea that in the midst of tragedy you give thanks to God, it is kind of shocking. You have to think about it, right?
Yeah. Well, look, it's not exactly normative in the materialist West in which we live. Let's face it, a lot of people aren't they comfortable with it, they sneer at it or they're disgusted by it. They think, what kind of brainwashed people, what is wrong with you? You know, and they can't understand that. We're going to continue the conversation with you. You were starting to sound like a sociologist, and then I realized, hey, you are a sociologist. I want to come back to talk more with you, Margarita, about the book that you're working on. You touched on it, this encounter with an angel. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text MONEY to 411-411. That's MONEY to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Arguments on both sides continue for a final day as the Senate prepares to wrap up its impeachment trial for President Trump.
Representative Sylvia Garcia of Texas says President Trump committed the ABCs of impeachable behavior.
Abusing his power, betraying the nation, and corrupting our elections.
Defense Attorney Jay Sekulow took aim at the articles of impeachment and the House process that spawned them.
This was the first totally partisan presidential impeachment in our nation's history, and it should be our last.
Both sides wrap up their arguments today with a final vote on Wednesday. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
Spending on U.S. construction projects edged down a slight 0.2% in December. That's according to the Commerce Department. On Wall Street, stocks are higher. The Dow up 193 points. The NASDAQ ahead 122. This is SRN News.
Good morning, America.
Or is it? If you're one of the millions of Americans who did not sleep well last night, it's probably a pretty average morning.
But listen up, you sleep-deprived people. There's good news. A breakthrough sleep solution called Pronto Sleep.
And when we say pronto, we mean pronto. Pronto Sleep gently opens your nose to focus breathing and help you relax and fall asleep. And the built-in scent diffuser delivers a blend of four pure essential oils to help you stay asleep naturally.
And then Pronto replenishes the oils ready for the next night. Too easy, eh?
And in trials, 84% of people with trouble sleeping found Pronto helped them fall asleep, and 74% found it helped them stay asleep. So make every morning a
good morning, America.
With Pronto Sleep, available now at select Walgreens, Amazon, or at prontosleep.com.
Pronto Sleep from RhinoMed, bringing you advanced nasal therapies.
Hey there, folks. I believe that's Orleans, and I know that I'm Eric Metaxas, and I know I'm talking to Margarita Mooney. Margarita, we've just got a couple of minutes left in this hour, but we're going to lock the doors and keep you here to continue the conversation. But you just wanted to share a story, you said, before we go to our break.
Yeah. When I was talking about my time in Haiti and how it seems paradoxical that people give thanks to God in the midst of tragedy, I think often the response we think people should go out and fight the revolution, or the only way to use their agency is to exercise their critical consciousness to change the world. And that point was hit home to me when I was in Cuba. I went to Cuba seven times between 1994 and 2007. And on my last trip there, I was on my way to the airport, and I had spent a lot of time in my last few trips there with a friend who was a medical doctor who was not raised in the faith but had walked into a Catholic church one day and become a Catholic in Cuba, in a very hostile environment, a man of a lot of integrity. And as he was driving me to the airport, right, I just went on this rant about what an evil totalitarian system this was, and why didn't people rise up, and why didn't people fight, and, you know, people should be fighting back against this. And he looked at me, and he just called me out, and he said, "You know what, Margarita? You're going to hop on a plane, and in Miami, an hour from now, you're going to be taking a hot shower and eating a hot plate of food. And you know what? I can't do that. But God's given me a mission. I may not have all the stuff that you have, and I may not be able to fight for the change that you think I should do. But after I drop you off, I'm going to go visit the grandmother down the street from me who nobody visits. And she doesn't have faith. This is where God put me. And my mission is right here, right now." And what I feel often is that in the intellectual circles I run in, we exalt the intellect and our critical consciousness to think about change and to tell other people how to change. But then when we see people like my friend in Cuba or my friends in Haiti giving thanks to God and doing small acts of service in the midst of really tough situations, we look down on them. But yet we're sitting there
with hot showers and hot food and hot lattes, pontificating. And the reality is, real change is really hard work. And I left Cuba and Haiti oftentimes in fear and in frustration and in anger at how little I could do. And that was my pride. And I didn't have the courage of the people I met in Haiti and Cuba who were willing to stand in the middle of these horrific and difficult situations with confidence that God had given them a mission.
That's the difference to me, right? In other words, it's like you're seeing with the eyes of man. And, you know, Jesus rebukes Peter when Peter says, no, Lord, you can't go to the cross. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. We have to see with God's eyes. And these people are seeing with God's eyes. What is God calling me to do today? Oftentimes, it's very different from what an impatient, frustrated American would think that they must do. We have to go to a break. Margarita Mooney, don't go away. In hour two, we'll continue the conversation with you. And I want to talk to you about the book that you are talking about writing next. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around. Jesus is just all right, boy, yeah. Jesus is just all right, yeah.